Three populist techniques for governing and their moral justifications. First, populists tend to colonize or occupy the state. Think of Hungary and Poland as recent examples. One of the first fundamental changes Viktor Orbán and his Fidesz party sought was a transformation of the civil service law, so as to enable the party to place loyalists in what should have been non-partisan bureaucratic positions. Both Fidesz and Jaroslaw Kaczynski's Law and Justice Party, PIS, also immediately moved against the independence of courts. Procedures of existing courts were amended, and new judges were appointed. Where a reshaping of the entire system proved difficult, as has been the case in Poland so far, paralysis of the judiciary proved an acceptable second best for the governing party. Media authorities were also immediately captured. The clear signal went out that journalists should not report in ways that violate the interests of the nation, which were, of course, equated with the interests of the governing party. For Kaczynski, who has long believed that a shadowy network is bent on undermining his party, it was also crucial to bring the secret services under control. Whoever criticized any of these measures was vilified as doing the bidding of the old elites, which the populists, as proper representatives of the people, had finally managed to replace, or as being outright traitors. Kaczynski spoke of Poles of the worst sort, who supposedly have treason in their genes. The end result is that political parties create a state to their own political liking and in their own political image. Such a strategy to consolidate or even perpetuate power is not the exclusive preserve of populists, of course. What is special about populists is that they can undertake such colonization openly and with the support of their core claim to moral representation of the people. Why, populists can ask indignantly, should the people not take possession of their state through their only rightful representatives? Why should those who obstruct the genuine popular will in the name of civil service neutrality not be purged? The state rightfully belongs to the people. It should not confront them as something like an alien apparatus. Rather, the people should properly take possession of it. Second, populists tend to engage in mass clientelism, the exchange of material and immaterial favours by elites for mass political support. Again, such conduct is not exclusive to populists. Many parties reward their clientele for turning up at the voting booths, though few would go as far as Austrian arch-populist Jörg Haider, who would literally hand out 100-euro bills to his people on the streets in Carinthia. Some observers have held that, from a realist perspective, mass clientelism and early forms of democracy are more or less the same thing, for clientelism establishes some meaningful political reciprocity and allows for some modicum of accountability. What makes populists distinctive, once more, is that they can engage in such practices openly and with public moral justifications, since for them only some people are really the people, and hence deserving of the support by what is rightfully their state. Similarly, only some of the people should get to enjoy the full protection of the laws. Those who do not belong to the people, or for that matter who might be suspected of actively working against the people, should be treated harshly. This is discriminatory legalism, the view that, for my friends, everything, for my enemies, the law. Some populists got lucky in that they had resources freely available to engage in mass clientelism and even effectively build up entire classes to support their regimes. Chavez benefited crucially from the oil boom. For regimes in Central and Eastern Europe especially, funds from the European Union have been equivalent to oil for some Arab authoritarian states. Governments can strategically employ the subsidies to buy support or at least keep citizens quiet. What's more, they can form social strata that conform to their image of the ideal people and that are loyal to the regime. Chavez created the Boliburguesia, which did very well indeed as a result of the Bolivarian Revolution. Erdogan continues to enjoy the unshakable support of the Anatolian middle class that emerged with the economic boom under his Justice and Development, AK, party. This middle class also embodies the image of an ideal, devoutly Muslim Turk, as opposed to westernized, secular elites on the one hand, and minorities such as the Kurds on the other. Hungary's Fidesz has built up a new group that combines economic success, family values, having children brings many benefits, and religious devotion into a whole that conforms to Orbán's vision of a Christian national culture. Once again, state colonization, mass clientelism, and discriminatory legalism are phenomena that can be found in many historical situations. Yet in populist regimes, they are practiced openly and, one might suspect, with a clean moral conscience. Hence also the curious phenomenon that revelations about what can only be called corruption simply do not seem to damage the reputation of populist leaders as much as one would expect. Haider's Freedom Party in the Italian Lega Nord turned out to be far more corrupt than traditional elites they had long criticized. Yet both still thrive today. So much so that the Lega Nord has now replaced Berlusconi's party as the main right-wing opposition in Italy. Erdogan, the self-declared man of the nation, Milletin Adami, remains untouched by corruption scandals. Clearly, the perception among supporters of populists is that corruption and cronyism are not genuine problems, as long as they look like measures pursued for the sake of a moral, hard-working us, and not for the immoral or even foreign them. Hence it is a pious hope for liberals to think that all they have to do is expose corruption to discredit populists. They also have to show that for the vast majority, populist corruption yields no benefits, and that a lack of democratic accountability, a dysfunctional bureaucracy, and a decline in the rule of law will, in the long run, hurt the people. All of them.